Hi, welcome to Tennis Players as Works of Art. My name is David Linebarger. Today's episode is on Boris Becker. Before I get into the post with this great portrait of Boris Becker by Mickey Guderboom, who's German, was living in Germany when she painted Boris. I want to just set this up a little bit. I worked at a German university. I taught at a German university on a Fulbright while I was earning my PhD. I was there for a year. And during that time, my wife's father came over to visit us. And he had fought in World War II, had never said a word about it. That generation was very quiet, and they were not encouraged to talk about the war. And so we had lots of interesting experiences. And you'll hear a little bit of this in my writing on Boris Becker. That's why I'm going into it now. But her father had been one of the people who had visited, seen the concentration camps, and was shocked, one of the American soldiers. And so when he was over there, we saw a lot of the old places that he had seen during the war. And we went to the concentration camp he had gone to in Mauthausen. And the guide only spoke German. We knew some German. And so he'd listened to it. And his eyes were wide open the whole time. It had been 50 years precisely since he had been there. And so this is a poem I published some time ago called After 50 Years. It's very short. I'm going to read it before we get into the post on Boris Becker. After 50 years, the flowers seem gifts from a tourist's world. The meadow so perfect, our minds risk marriage to the world outside. Grandpa asks for a map. He tells us he's looking for a place he remembers. Mauthausen, he says, when he finds it. We arrive too late for the last English tour, so our guide speaks German as she shows us the showers. He watches her lips like one who needs to lose himself in another's arms. In a word, here and there, he can't quite grasp from a story he knows he should never tell. So that's the little poem called After 50 Years. I've published in a couple of places. And so that's the sort of context for the Boris Becker. So here it is, Boris Becker, a thought experiment. Let's push nationalism too far. The television stations in Germany would shift other sporting events to different times so the entire nation could watch Becker's matches. A Becker match meant drama, Sturm und Drang. The rocking motion before the serve, then boom. Only Sampras had a better big serve under pressure. The dramatic diving volleys on grass. The Becker fist. The Becker shuffle. Becker himself said his performances on court were a type of lovemaking between he and the spectators. Electric, erotic, power and lust, body and soul. The pre-20th century heroes of Germany, Luther, Beethoven, Marx, Nietzsche, moved societies, thought. Becker was just a tennis player who happened to win Wimbledon in 1985 at 17 years old, then repeated this feat the next year. Did a German century of defeat and shame help forge Becker into an even greater national hero? Mi vida. Never again. I saw these words everywhere when I lived in Germany for a year just after the fall of the Berlin Wall. In East Germany, the rise of the neo-Nazis. In West Germany, they insisted I tour the camps. I watched Becker all the time on TV. And I put a little footnote or asterisk here to comment a little bit on this post on Boris Becker. It's about Becker being a greater hero. And I say it's a question I realize that is unfair to Becker. And this post is a little unfair to Becker. All celebrity, though, is gloriously unfair. To what extent any great athlete or any less important person, say you or me, should be linked to their country's culture and history is a thorny question. To what extent any country's reaction to a great athlete can be linked to that country's culture and history is perhaps not a less thorny question. So that's today's pod on Boris Becker and Germany. Hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, for tennis players as works of art, this is David Leinbarger. Adios.